Welcome to Basic Gospel, formerly People to People. We're here every day at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. We invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Well, Richard, good to be with you. Bob Christopher, of course, away from these microphones today. So it's you and me, buddy.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll go for it.
Looking forward to hearing from our listeners. 1-800-677-9377. As I said, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. The lines are open right now.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the death of Jesus, which completely took away sin, complete victory over the sin and death issue. Then he was buried to prove that he had died. Then he was raised back to life to prove his complete victory over death. And as a result of that, we could rejoice in the day of Pentecost when that life was made available to every one of us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so that is truly good news. One of the aspects of such good news is about relationships, not just with God, but with each other. Mm-hmm. If this love of God, this indwelling Holy Spirit, is real and has informed our lives in the way that he intends, our relationships should change. One of the key aspects of relationship is this need for belonging that each of us have. We need to know that people care. People need to know that we care about them. And what we'd like to know, if you got any other kind of question, that's fine, but we'd like to know from you that are there ways in which this good news of Jesus Christ has helped you in your search for belonging, whether it's with other people or just in general, your sense of assurance and all of that you belong in this world, regardless of your marital status or any of that kind of thing. Because Jesus is here to meet that need.
Yeah.
And if Jesus doesn't meet that need first, it's going to be kind of hard for us to have that need met in anyone else. So if you got questions about belonging or any other topic, a Bible passage, whatever, give us a call. We'd love to talk with you.
1-800-677-9377. Oh, the lines are wide open right now, and we await your calls. 1-800-677-9377. Let's get right to it, Richard. This is from John. When we lose focus on God, does he sometimes bring us down a notch, like make us sick or do other things to bring us back?
Yeah, the old backhand, you know. No, God doesn't do that. What happens is that when we lose focus on God, we start to make selfish decisions. We focus on ourselves and we decide what we want to do, when we want to do it, and chances are we're going to make a bad decision. And that decision has consequences. What Satan tries to do is to say, well, see, I told you, God's just whacking you upside the head. You know, he's just trying to pound you into the dirt because you messed up.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Satan does. Romans 8 tells us that. Romans 8 tells us, ask a couple of rhetorical questions. I mean, who is it who condemns? Well, it can't be God, because God, through Jesus Christ, justified us all.
Right.
Well, who is it that brings accusations? Again, it's not Jesus. It's only Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So when we make mistakes and we suffer the consequences of those mistakes, those consequences are happening temporally in our timeline, the direct result of things we have done. And God says to us, instead of condemning us, he says, do you know, Richard, I have forgiven you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to learn how to think differently. Let's talk about thinking differently and letting my spirit renew your mind and renew your heart and let my love flow through you instead of this selfish garbage you've been doing.
Yeah.
So God doesn't take us down a notch. In fact, he turns that falling down a notch, which we do to ourselves,
sure,
to something good.
Yeah.
Because it becomes a learning experience.
Absolutely. Great answer. Thank you.
1-800-677-9377. The lines are open. Want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. New Orleans, let's talk to Wayne, listening on our great New Orleans affiliate, WLNO. Hi, Wayne. Welcome to People and Basic Gospel.
Hey, guys. I just want to call about that sense of belonging. You know, I've just went through some gallbladder surgery, and I've had an awful lot of people praying for me, and I live by myself, and I'm just kind of not feeling good right now. And I just don't understand that. You know, Richard knows me a little bit, and I've kind of struggled with this sense of belonging and the needing to know, and you know, I just can't seem to lick this thing, and I don't know how to explain it. Maybe Richard, you can help me, but man, I just feel like I'm just so alone right now. And
well,
I didn't know if you could help me maybe deal with this. I've wanted to call so many times in the past, and I felt afraid to, but I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of going through what I go through, and I've had so many people pray for me.
Well, Wayne, I know exactly what you're talking about, because we've talked about this in the past a little bit. The fact is, Wayne, you've been through a hard time. I mean, not only do you live alone, but you've been sick. I mean, you had to have gallbladder surgery. And that is a terrible thing. It wears you down. It causes you to think all of the worst possible thoughts. And believe me, I mean, last year I went through a sickness that had me in the hospital. And I'm laying there going, well, now what? I can't afford this. And pretty soon you've built yourself a hole that you can't get out of. And in your case, the fact that you know that so many people are praying for you, and I know there are dozens, maybe over 100 people in that group that you're talking about that have been praying for you, just say thank you for that. That should be proof that you belong, even though you live alone. And you're out there in Louisiana by yourself. You know that you have family nearby because they help you. You know that your neighbors help you. They take you, you know, to the store when you need to go and all of that. You've called and talked to us. You know we're here for you. It's the way out of these feelings is to realize the truth of the situation and to thank God that you've got so many friends around the country that can do everything except be there with you physically. There's the issue. Yes, you are alone physically, but you are not alone in your soul nor in your spirit. You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, and you have so many friends around the country who call you and work with you on the internet and all the rest of it. And so you don't need to fear this. Admit it for what it is. You feel bad because you're physically, you're still recovering. It's been a hard road, and it should get better. I mean, they found out what the problem was, they fixed the problem, and now you're on the mend. So allow God to finish doing the mending, and allow your friends to come alongside you as best we can on the phone and via the internet and all the rest of it, and I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Wayne, thanks for calling, brother. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, let's talk to John, listening at WWNL. John, welcome to People and Basic Gospel.
Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you. My heart just goes out to this Wayne. Boy, my heart goes out to that man. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and, you know, I've never been alone. Jesus is always with me, so that should be enough for anybody, I would reckon. My question is this, cremation versus regular burial.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
Well, there is this interesting little text over in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, let me look it up here so I don't misquote it. 1 Corinthians 15:50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So the bodies that we have now, the bodies that die, whether they're cremated or buried, are not the bodies we will be raised with.
Right.
Instead, we're going to get new bodies, glorified bodies. Paul describes them as spiritual. We're not sure what that means, but it's going to be different than what we have now. And so I don't think anybody needs to be afraid of either cremation or burial. And I've heard people in the past try to argue that cremation somehow thwarts God. Well, that's kind of silly. What would you do if you were in a plane crash or right. in a boat that sank and the creatures of the sea eat you? Because they do that. Yeah. I mean, that's what they're designed sure. to do. God knows who we are, and sure. and he is going to raise us with brand new bodies. And even those of us who are alive when Jesus comes back, we will be changed. We're not going with Jesus in these bodies. We will be changed.
I think an amen belongs there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's I find it actually so exciting. I can't hardly stand it.
I know.
It's just, if totally Jesus wants to come before the end of the program, I'm just fine.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
if he waits another 10 years, I'm fine with that. But I'd kind of prefer it by Tuesday.
I hope the previous caller realizes that as well. And my heart goes out to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Wayne's a cool guy. I've spent some time with him in person and on the phone, and he's a really, really nice guy, and he is passionate about Jesus, and he's been going through a hard time, and, it's just hard to go through hard stuff. So.
Well, I once was talking to a pastor years ago, and he said, we're going to suffer. Now, where are we going to suffer? We didn't suffer in the womb, thank God. We're not going to suffer after we go home to be with the Lord, so where are we going to suffer?
Yeah, we're going to suffer here.
We're going to suffer
but
here.
Fear not.
I appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
Safe
driving.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Good to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. We've got time on the clock with Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. This is Basic Gospel. And during the month of June here at Basic Gospel, we have a CD to aid your growth and understanding of what you hear every day on this broadcast. It's a message called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's yours this month for a gift of any amount. So please go online to basicgospel.net or realanswers.net and click the prominent link or call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with our operator, Billy. She'll be glad to get a copy on the way to you. Again, that's at realanswers.net, basicgospel.net, or calling 1-800-727-2828. El Paso, Texas. Let's talk to Nicole, listening to KELP. Nicole, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you. My question is, my husband and I have been married for about 3 years, and we both don't want to have kids. Is that a sin?
No. Absolutely not. Having children is the most important question a married couple can ask themselves. Do we want, if we want them, how many? If we don't want them, are we going to consider adopting? All of those kinds of questions are critical to the marriage and to the success of the marriage, and the two of you need to absolutely be on the same page. But there is nothing in the Bible that says that either the choice not to or the inability to have children somehow makes you, unworthy of Jesus.
Well, that's what I said in the New Testament. It said something about a woman is saved by giving birth.
Yes. So now you come up with one of the most difficult verses in the Bible to understand. Might as well face it straight on. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2, and it's in verse 15. But I don't want to read just verse 15 because I want to put some context around it. We'll start back in verse 11, and it may sound as bad, but you'll see in a minute why it's not. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be kept safe through childbirth if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. So what is Paul talking about here? Well, based on the entire rest of the Bible, there's one thing I can tell you he's not talking about. There isn't a different rule of salvation for women than there is for men. All of us are saved by grace through faith on the basis of our acceptance of Jesus as a Lord and Savior. It can't be by works of any kind. And in interpreting this passage as, you've got to have a baby to be saved, that would be salvation by works. So what is he talking about? Well, it turns out that one of the things that was going on in the church in the first century is that a lot of people were coming out of extremely pagan forms of religion. This included the fertility cults with many of the temples, Artemis, Diana, those kinds of things. And it wasn't unusual in those situations for the women in those temples to be very much in charge. They're the ones who spoke, they're the ones who taught, they're the ones who did everything. Well, imagine that you were one of those women and you'd just gotten saved. And I was, or your husband was, one of the guys that used to come to those temples, and we just got saved. And now you show up at the same house church together and you look at each other and go, well, this is uncomfortable. And yeah. And so there was that going on. And then there was also the issue of pastor, or not pastors, but of men and women, husbands and wives, having bad relationships with each other, where they were trying to one-up each other, or trying to, you know, the husband was trying to, you know, to overcome the wife and make sure she was subjugated, and the wife would fight back, and she would speak up and make him look bad in public. And Paul was saying, take that stuff home and deal with it as it should be dealt with between the two of you and in the context of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so this whole statement here is about worship in public and what is acceptable and what is not. In fact, we know that Paul knew very many women who were very active in the church, who taught regularly, who did various things in the church, and he even names them first quite often when he says goodbye to people at the end of his letters. The women get named first. If he was the typical Jewish person, like he used to be when he was a Pharisee, he would not have named the women. He would have named only the men. And so the Spirit changed him, and he wants the Spirit to change all of us. So this is more about not lording it over your husband, especially in public. It's about being husband and wife, being one in Jesus Christ. It's not an order to have children in order to be saved. I've looked at the structure on this, and you know, if I was going to do anything, I would have called Paul and say, "Would you let me rewrite this for you?" But I didn't get that chance. He said it, and I know based on the rest of his writings that he absolutely did not believe that women were saved through childbirth. They are saved just like everybody else. And so I wouldn't let a verse like this taken out of the context of propriety in public worship to cause you and your husband to feel guilt about your current choice. Okay? So I think you just stay together. You be on the same page. You walk by faith. And if your minds change, praise God. If they don't change, praise God. Your job together and individually is to walk by faith in the indwelling Christ.
Amen.
So that I it's kind of long-winded. I'm sorry. I hope that was helpful.
Oh no. Okay. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, Nicole.
Yes, indeed. Hope you keep listening. Call again. Richard, as you well know, we had a wonderful conference this past weekend right here, our Be a Voice conference. Lots of sweet friends here, and One of those who was there was our Canadian director and member of our board of directors, Rod McLeod.
Yes.
And what a dear guy he is.
Yes,
and,
he is.
And he wrote us just a short note. I just wanted to share this with you and the listeners. Rod wrote this morning, he said, "I felt compelled to send you a note of thank you for a great conference. The teaching and the workshops were all superb, and what a nice group." And here he goes, he's going to make a very interesting point, I think. "Everyone was so happy to be there. I was reconnected with old friends from New York and Florida, Chicago, Oregon, Kansas, Texas, and many new ones as well. What a happy, smiling bunch. While traveling back home, you could see a contrast to the sour and worried looks on the face of the general public. The folks who soaked up the good news of the gospel have such big, radiant smiles on their faces. I am very thankful I was able to attend and was greatly refreshed, and thank you all again for a great time. Keep up the good work. Love you guys a lot." And that's from Rod McLeod, our Canadian director and a member of our board of directors. And Rod, if you're listening, we love you too,
yeah,
brother.
Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's great.
Quickly, let's go to El Paso again and talk to Ron, listening on KELP. Hi, Ron. Welcome to Basic
Gospel. Good afternoon. Hi, thank thank you for your program.
Sure.
I have a general question about the Book of Acts and how it is to be read, particularly in as some practices in the early part of the book. I see it as a continuation of Luke's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Would you comment on how we are to read the Book of Acts and the difference between a practice and a doctrine?
Okay. Acts is a history of how the church, the body of Christ, got started. And it is absolutely a continuation of Luke's gospel. In the gospel of Luke, Luke talked about Jesus. In Acts, Luke talks about the effects of what happened because Jesus came, lived, died, and was resurrected, and then went back home. And so the whole thing is about the spread of the gospel. And when Jesus told the disciples in chapter 1 before he ascended, went back home, he said, I want you to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's exactly what happened. And so his story recounts those. It brings to bear all of the important situations at the time. Well, because the Bible is a warts and all book, what you're going to see in there is the change in the disciples and their followers from when they first got the Holy Spirit and were still, in very many ways, hanging on to their old Judaism. You know, how do we put Judaism into the context of Jesus rather than putting Jesus first and foremost? And so you see things change, the emphasis on certain kinds of baptisms, which is a very Jewish idea. And then it changes so that they really talk about it more as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is what Jesus said. The baptism I'm talking about is the baptism of the Spirit. And you see these various things as they change, and that's all it is. There is wonderful doctrine in the book. I mean, there are some of these sermons are the clearest descriptions of the gospel and of the power of what Jesus did. But there are also just historical realities. And we've got to read with discernment. You know, just because the word "the" is there doesn't turn the word "the" into the doctrine of "the." Okay? I'm overstating it, but I think you see what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So what I do with the book of Acts is that I read it with a certain amount of awe, because these people went through their daily lives with the assumption that the Spirit was going to lead them into the next adventure. And the Spirit never failed to lead them into the next adventure. And so you notice in the book of Acts that there isn't a lot of emphasis on miracles, because miracles happened so often. It was just the Spirit doing what the Spirit does in order to make sure that the gospel is spread the way that needs to be spread. And so I think we do ourselves a disservice by trying to focus especially on the miraculous things to the exclusion of the message, and we end up worshiping the action, worshiping the result, rather than worshiping Jesus who caused all of that to work together. So Acts is a fascinating book. It's an exciting book. It should be encouraging to each one of us who reads it, but it shouldn't be taken in contrast to all the rest of the New Testament. It should be taken in conjunction with the rest of the New Testament. So we're about out of time. I hope that helps. Thanks for your call, Ron.
Yes, indeed. And thanks to Wayne and John and Nicole for being a part of this edition as well. And we'll be back tomorrow at the same time. Hey, look, everyone is on a journey. We know that. But we don't always know where that journey is going to take us. So at Basic Gospel, we invite you to take a journey to life and freedom that begins and ends with Jesus Christ. Friends, if you've been confused about the direction of your life, this message will give you a clear path and set you on the adventure of a lifetime. It's called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit realanswers.net. Just click the link on the homepage or call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with our operator, Billy. Again, that's realanswers.net or call 1-800-727-2828 for your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. You know, at Basic Gospel, we're excited to impact lives journeying together in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Now for Bob Christopher and Richard and the entire ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us at the same time tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.